السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه، وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، First of all, welcome back to everyone after another break. Alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was able to complete the action of Hajj, the journey of Hajj. Just returned 2 days ago. Please make dua, may Allah ta'ala accept and call me for Hajj and Umrah again and again, and for everyone present and all those who are listening, inshallah. So we are studying the chapter on the section of this kitab which is related to husnul khuluq, good character. And part of good character is generosity. An important part of good character is to be generous. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has a section on the virtues of generosity, and also the opposite, which is the dislikedness of bukhl, miserliness and stinginess. So in the last hadith 296, we learnt that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam preferred Amr ibn Jamuh to be the leader. And he said, "Wa ayyu da'in adwa min al-bukhl," because the previous person who they considered their leader was known for his stinginess. So he said, no, Amr is more worthy because he was very generous. And one of the signs of his generosity was that he would, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would marry, he would organize a feast and feed people to celebrate. So that shows that he was very generous, and that generosity made him more deserving of leadership. So now we move on to hadith number 297. قال حدثنا براد كاتب المغيرة قال كتب معاوية إلى المغيرة بن شعبة أن اكتب إلي بشيء سمعته من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سيدنا معاوية بن أبي سفيان wrote to المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله عنهما that write for me something you heard from رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فكتب إليه المغيرة. مغيرة wrote أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان ينهى عن قيل وقال. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم would forbid or would prevent قيل أن قال, which has been translated as idle talk. Okay, قيل, it has been said, قال, he said, she said. So sort of gossip, idle talk, you know, narrating things without verifying. Okay, someone said this, I heard this, I heard that. This kind of hearsay, gossip, and idle talk, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited. This is also against good character, good akhlaq. If we speak beneficial, and verify things before you speak. Okay? And then, wa idha'atil mal. The second thing which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would prohibit was idha'atul mal, squandering wealth, being wasteful with one's property. We spoke about this at the beginning of the kitab, that, you know, spending, which is, you know, spending for benefit, and what kind of spending is okay. If you remember, we said, you know, for comfort, if you spend extra for comfort, that's not wasting wealth. Okay, or something looks nice, that's not wasting wealth. But if it's without any benefit, there's no benefit in dunya, there's no benefit in deen, Or if it's just to show others, right? To boast to others, to show others how much wealth you have, then this is impermissible. This is israf and idaatul mal. Thirdly, وكثرة السؤال. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited excessive questioning. This we also spoke about right in the beginning, I believe in chapter 7 of this book, if I remember correctly, that kathratu su'al also has two possible meanings. One is begging, asking people for things. Okay, some people have a habit that, if they need something, they're always asking, oh, can you sort this out for me? Can you give me this? Can you give me that? So asking people for things, yeah, if you want something, buy it yourself. Work and get it yourself. If you can't afford it, then don't have it. But always asking people for things, and asking people to give you things all the time is not good. It's not praiseworthy. Or the other interpretation is asking questions, meaning asking silly questions, unnecessary questions, asking about things you don't need to know. Okay? A good question is half of ilm. But asking a bad question, unnecessary question, not a beneficial question, this is not praiseworthy. And then wa'an man'in wahat, being close-fisted and ready to take. Man' means to prevent, so not giving. When somebody wants something from you, you don't give it. So this is the main purpose of bringing this hadith here, because this is miserliness. The chapter is talking about stinginess and miserliness. So to be stingy, to not give. Wahat, hat means bring, give it. So, always ready to take from others, but not being ready to give. This is man' wahat. To be such a person who's always ready to take from others, but not ready to give. So you should be a giver, you should be generous, not just be a taker, always taking help and taking aid and taking gifts from others without giving them. You shouldn't be that kind of person. وَعُقُوقِ الْأُمَّهَاتِ, and also undutifulness to mothers. Okay, to be disobedient or to be abusive towards one's mother is also a grave sin, which you spoke about at length previously. And then وَعَنْ وَأْدِ الْبَنَاتِ, and burying your girls alive. This was a abhorrent act which was common in Jahiliyyah, that if they had in certain people, if they had a do if they had a daughter, they would bury the daughter alive, because they were ashamed to have daughters, or they feared that daughters would be a financial burden, etc. Okay, and some ulama mentioned, using contraception unnecessarily. They also consider it as wadd al-khafi, although in some cases it's permitted. So that's an issue for the fuqaha. You can discuss with jurists. But over here, he's talking about when they would bury their daughters alive, which was a fashion and a something which was common amongst the Arabs. So all of these things are not permitted. 298. قال سمعت جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال ما سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن شيء قط فقال لا. سبحان الله. That Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam never said no to any request put to him. Meaning, if he was asked for something and he could give it, he definitely would. Okay? We've discussed this previously as well. And there were occasions where if he didn't have something, he said, La ahmilukum, la ajidu ma ahmilukum alayh, like mentioned in the Quran, I don't have anything to give you at the moment. But if he had something to give, he never said no. This is the absolute height of generosity. With Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's yaqeen in Allah was so strong, his yaqeen and his belief in the akhirah was so strong, that this world and the possessions of this world didn't mean anything to him. Therefore, for him to give his wealth and possessions away was very easy. So he didn't withhold his wealth. If anyone asked him and he could give, he definitely would. Chapter 140, باب المال الصالح للمرء الصالح. That good wealth for a good man. This is mentioned in the hadith that for a good person, good wealth is a good thing. Okay, so wealth in itself is not a bad thing. We say, money corrupts, money is the root of all evil. This is usually the case for most people, but it's not necessary. So wealth in itself is not a bad thing. If somebody acquires wealth, if somebody works hard, or if somebody is just gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they have lots of wealth, that's not a bad thing in itself. What matters is how you use that wealth. If the wealth makes the person arrogant, or if the wealth leads a person to sin, okay, or do wrong, then that wealth is bad for that person. Otherwise, wealth can be used for good. If a person has wealth and then they are generous with it and they spend it in the path of Allah, then that wealth is good for them. So we can see this message in this hadith. سمعت أبي يقول سمعت عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه قال بعث إلي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأمرني أن آخذ علي ثيابي وسلاحي ثم آتيه ففعلت فأتيته وهو يتوضأ فصعد إلي البصر ثم طأطأ ثم قال يا عمر أريد أن أبعثك على جيش فيغنمك الله عز وجل وأزعب لك زعبة من المال صالحة قلت إني لم أسلم رغبة في المال إنما أسلمت رغبة في الإسلام وأكون مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا عمر نعم المال الصالح للمرء الصالح. عمرو بن عاص رضي الله عنه reports that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم sent for me ordering me to be fully dressed carrying my armor and go to him, meaning be ready for battle. Okay, Amr ibn al-As is from the senior. He's known as the Dahiyat al-Arab, very intelligent of the Arabs. He was a very respectable person amongst Quraysh, and he's a very close companion of Abu Sufyan and Muawiyah, a big supporter of Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhu. Umar radiyallahu anhu recognized his intelligence and sent him as governor of Egypt. So in this, on this incident which is mentioned here, he was recently a Muslim. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to send him as the general of an army. So he said, "Come, wear your armor, be ready for battle, and come to me." I did this and went to him. I found him doing his ablutions. He looked at me, then he looked at the ground. I mean, he just looked at me once to check, and he looked back down and he said, "Amr, I want to send you with an army under your command, and Allah may give you victory and spoils of war. I will give you a good sum of money. So go with the battle and you will be successful, and I'll give you money for your work." I said, "I have not embraced Islam in order to get money. Okay, I have accepted Islam because I realize that it is a true religion, and I want to be with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Amr, blessed be good money for a person who is good." Yeah, in other words, for a good person, good money, meaning money which is earned through halal means, which is pure money, and the person is good, then for him that money is a good thing. So money itself is not bad. Okay, so why is it good for a good person? Because a good person will be generous with his money and spend it in the right ways, spend it in the paths of piety, of good, and earn rewards with it. So therefore, that's why for a good person, wealth is good. And for a stingy person, wealth is no good, because they just hold it in their account, they don't spend it in any good. So what good is their money for them? باب من أصبح آمنا في سلبه. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أصبح آمنا في سربه or you can say سربه as well معافا في جسده عنده طعام يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا. But whoever wakes up in the morning feeling secure in his dwelling place, okay? Meaning you have safety in your home or in your family or those around you, you feel secure. Alhamdulillah, those of us who live more, in the West or most of it, most places in the world, we're safe. We're not scared that, my house could be bombed, my house could be robbed at any moment, I could be looted or pillaged at any moment. Alhamdulillah, we have relative security. Unlike some parts of the world, we're hearing in the news now every now and then Somebody's house is bombed, somebody's haunted house is looted. May Allah Ta'ala protect us and them. May Allah help the Ummah going through tough times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us peace and security to all around the world. May Allah give us all peace and security. So whoever has this security where you feel safe in the, you can wake up in the morning not worrying about what's going to happen to your property during that day. So first is your wealth is safe. Then mu'afan fi jasadihi, enjoying good personal health. Okay, but physically you're healthy. You don't have any disabilities. You don't have any severe illness, long-term illness, or any risk to your life. And indahu ta'amu yawmihi, and having enough food for the day. You're not worried about where will my next meal come from. Will I have any lunch to eat today? Will I have dinner tonight or not? You've got enough to have food for the day. Then فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا, he is like the one who has the whole world at his disposal. Subhanallah. It's a beautiful hadith. As long as you're secure, you're safe, you're healthy, and you've got your food, you've got your basic necessities and needs, then what more do you need? It's like you've got everything you could need. You've got the whole world at your hands. Because even the richest people in the world, what do they spend their money on? Right? They spend money on health, medical costs, medical insurance. They spend money on supplements and health supplements, and they spend money on their shelter and their security, and they spend money on food. What else do you have? Okay, these are the basic necessities. So if you have them, okay, their food might look a bit better and taste a bit better, but end of the day, it's the same thing. It's still food is food. So you've got everything you need. You have the whole world at your disposal. So this is what you call qana'at. We should have qana'at. As long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us our basic necessities, we should be happy and grateful and thankful with what Allah ta'ala has given us. Rather than having greed and always wanting more, we should appreciate what Allah has given to us. Babu tibin nafs. Tibun nafs, being cheerful. We've also discussed this in previous chapters. So there is some repetition here. Okay. Abdullah ibn Sulaiman ibn Abi Salama al-Aslami annahu sami'a Mu'adh ibn Abdullah ibn Khubayb al-Juhani yuhaddithu an abihi an ammihi anna an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kharaja alayhim wa alayhi atharu ghuslin wa huwa tayyibun nafs fazananna annahu alamma bi ahlihi faqultu ya Rasul Allah naraka tayyiban nafs قال أجل والحمد لله ثم ذكر الغنى فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه لا بأس بالغنى لمن اتقى الله والصحة لمن اتقى خير من الغنى وطيب النفس من النعم. عبيد المعاذ رضي الله عنه reports that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم came out to us appearing to just have just had a bath and he looked fresh and relaxed. We thought he might have been with one of his wives. We said, Ya Rasulullah, you look fresh. He said, Indeed, praise be to Allah. Me, Alhamdulillah, I feel good. If somebody's looking happy, looking fresh, looking cheerful, you can say to them, MashaAllah, you look fresh today, you look good today, you look happy, you look like you're in a good mood. So Rasulullah was very, looking like he was in a good mood, he was cheerful. Ya Rasulullah, you look very cheerful and happy today. You look fresh. He said, Alhamdulillah. Then you can see the humbleness. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would just sit amongst the people like one of them. It wasn't like, if he was there, everything had to be about him. So they were just talking generally. And as they were talking, the subject of wealth was then raised. Somebody said about money and wealth. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, wealth is a good thing for a God-fearing person. So as long as the most important thing is taqwa, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, piety, God fearing, fear of Allah, this is the most important. Along with taqwa, if you have wealth, it's a good thing. But if you have wealth without Allah's taqwa, then that wealth is not good because you'll end up using it in wrong, in sin. So wealth with taqwa is a good thing. But good health is better than wealth to a God fearing person. Subhanallah. Right? You have many people, they're extremely wealthy, but they're bedridden, okay? Or they've got some severe illnesses, or some family members have illnesses, they're always in the hospital, in and out. Okay, so if you ask them that, if you could give up your money, give up your wealth, but you'd be guaranteed never to be ill again, they would happily trade that. Okay? They'd happily give up their wealth for good health. So good health is better than wealth with taqwa. وَطِيبُ النَّفْسِ مِنَ النِّعَمِ, and to be and to feel good is an aspect of Allah's grace. There's also a blessing. If you feel good, if you can feel happy, if you're in a good mood, then this is also a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عن النواس بن سمعان الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن البر والإثم فقال البر حسن الخلق والإثم ما حك في نفسك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس. نواس بن سمعان رضي الله عنه said that he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about righteousness and sin, meaning how can we recognize good from bad? Yeah, how do we know if something is right or wrong? فقال البر حسن الخلق. So he said, righteousness is good manners, and والإثم ما حك في نفسك, sin is what irritates you at heart. وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس, and you dislike that people should be aware of. Okay, for a decent person, he wouldn't do it in public. He wouldn't want people to know about it. So sometimes, if you have doubt about something, it is good or bad. Just if it's, a decent person will always have a bit of, that bad feeling that, oh no, is this right or not? I don't feel, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't sit with you. It doesn't sit right with you. That is a sign that's not a good thing. Yeah, but this is for decent people. Yeah, this hadith already passed, hadith number 296, so we discussed it there as well. And Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, kana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahsana an-nas. Anas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of people. This could be referring to physically, the most beautiful of people, and also in his character, in his behavior, he was the best. Wa ajwada an-nas, and he was the most generous. Wa ashja'a an-nas, and he was the most brave. And I give the example of his bravery. وَلَقَدْ فَزِعَ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ, that one night the people of Medina were frightened. Okay? There was a loud noise, and everybody got scared. What is this loud noise? Yeah? Some of them thought that maybe, there's an army is galloping towards us to attack us, or some other kind of, maybe some earthquake is coming or something. So they got scared. What is this? فَانْطَلَقَ النَّاسُ قِبَلَ الصَّوْتِ. So people rushed towards the source of the noise. فَاسْتَقْبَلَهُمُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ قَدْ سَبَقَ النَّاسَ إِلَى الصَّوْتِ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ لَنْ تُرَاعُوا لَنْ تُرَاعُوا. They were met by Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم coming back, having been ahead of all people to the source of the noise. He said, do not be alarmed, do not be alarmed. Okay. So you can see here, the people panicked and they were worried. And then, they must have got together and decided, okay, let's go together. Let's go towards where the noise came from to see what's happened. But before they could even get there, Rasulullah was already returning. He had gone himself to check what had happened. Okay? Probably some rocks must have fallen down from a mountain. Sometimes what happens, what's it called, like, a bit like an avalanche you have, that, some rocks roll down the mountain and it makes a loud sound. So there's probably something like this that happened, but the people got scared. But the point is that before they could even get there, Rasulullah had already gone and checked everything out and come back and told them that there's nothing to worry about. So he went alone. He wasn't scared to go alone. This shows his bravery. He was riding an unsaddled horse which belonged to Abu Talha. This also shows his expert horse rider, that he could ride a horse, quickly jump on a horse without putting the saddle on in emergency. And he... So he didn't even have saddle on. وفي عنقه, he had a safe, and he had a sword hanging around his neck. فَقَالَ لَقَدْ وَجَدْتُهُ بَحْرًا أَوْ قَالَ إِنَّهُ لَبَحْرٌ. And he said that I found the horse to be a good runner, or it is certainly a good runner. Bahr means an ocean. It means that this horse runs just like the water of the ocean flows. It's a very good horse. So he's praising the horse of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, which he had borrowed. And it shows that if your friend has something and you know he won't mind you using it, then you are allowed to use it without permission as well. He took his horse and used it without asking him, and he's telling him it's a very good horse, mashallah. عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل معروف صدقة وإنما المعروف أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق وأن تفرغ من دلبك في إناء أخيك. جابر رضي الله عنه reports that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said every kind action is an act of charity, the sadaqah. It is an act of kindness to look cheerful when you meet your brother. Okay? So you shouldn't always be moody, with a serious face. Okay, when you meet people, smile, be cheerful. Sometimes that can really make someone feel better. Okay, so make people feel comfortable around you. It's be cheerful and you know smile at others. This is also a sadaqah and a good deed. And to pour water out of your pail into your brother's water vessel. If you have a you know a large pail, a large bucket of water. And somebody comes, somebody's got a small bottle or a small bowl and they need some, so give them a little bit from your water. Okay, so this small act, it seems insignificant, but even this on the day of Qiyamah will be considered as a good deed and will be in your mizan as a good deed. Babun ma yajibu min awnil malhuf, that helping someone in dire need. Okay. عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه قال سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الأعمال خير. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was questioned which deed is best. قال إيمان بالله وجهاد في سبيله. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم replied belief in Allah and striving in his path. قال فأي الرقاب أفضل. So then he asked which slaves are best, meaning to free. Okay, freeing a slaves. A slave was known to be a very virtuous act. Okay, so he asked, what kind of slaves should be free? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the highest in price and the most precious in their owner's view. Okay, if you have many slaves, the one that you like the most, if you free that one, then that's the greatest reward that you'll get is for that. Because the more you want it, there's the more sacrifice, and the more sacrifice there is, the more difficult the act is for you, the more the reward. قال أفرأيت إن لم أستطع بعض العمل. Tell me, or what do you think? Or tell me, if I am unable to do some acts, what if I can't free slaves? I'm too poor. I can't afford them. I can't afford to free slaves. قال تعين ضائعا أو تصنع لأخرق. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, help a poor person who has a family, or do something for a unskilled person. Okay, help someone who is in need, or if there's somebody who can't do some work, who's struggling with work, then help them, support them. قَالَ أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِن ضَعُفْتُ. What if I'm too weak for this? So financially I can't help anyone, and even physically I can't help anyone. قَالَ تَدْعُ النَّاسَ مِنَ الشَّرِّ. Then refrain from doing harm to people. The least you can do is not harm. If you can't help someone, at least don't harm them. Okay? At least don't abuse them with your tongue. Don't say anything bad. فَإِنَّهَا صَدَقَةٌ تُصَدِّقُهَا عَلَى تَصَدَّقُهَا أو تُصَدِّقُهَا عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. This is also an act of charity which you do to yourself. Just protecting yourself from harm is a charity for yourself. Because you're protecting yourself, saving yourself, so you're helping yourself. So if you can't help others, help yourself by not harming others, okay, and protecting yourself from the sin. سعيد بن بردة قال سمعت أبي يحدث عن جدي عن عن أي نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال على كل مسلم صدقة. So أبو موسى رضي الله عنه, the father of أبو بردة, he says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ صَدَقَةٌ. It is the duty of every Muslim to give sadaqah. قَالَ أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِن لَّمْ يَجِدْ. So the Sahaba asked, what if he has nothing to give? قَالَ فَلْيَعْمَلْ. So he should do something. فَلْيَنْفَعْ نَفْسَهُ. Then benefit himself. وَلْيَتَصَدَّقْ. And give charity. meaning do some work, and so if you have no money, do some work, benefit yourself and benefit others. قال أفرأيت إن لم يستطيع أو لم يفعل. What if he's unable to, or if he does not do? قال ليعند الحاجة الملهوف. Then he should help one with a pressing need. If you don't have, if you can't earn, then just help others physically. قال أفرأيت إن لم يستطيع. If he can't do this أو لم يفعل, or if he chooses not to, قال فليأمر بالمعروف. Then he should enjoin good. Okay? Encourage others to do good. قال أفرأيت إن لم يستطيع. Or if he can't do this, أو لم يفعل, or if he chooses not to. قال يمسك عن الشر. And at least refrain from evil. فإنها له صدقة. That is also a صدقة for himself. باب من دعا أن يحسن الله خلقه. Okay, so this, the main topic over here is حسن الخلق. These are all examples of good character. So, in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually made du'a and asked Allah for good character. So we should also ask Allah for good character. We should adopt good character, try our best to learn and implement and practice good character in our life. But at the same time, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa taala for good character. So there is an example of a du'a which we can include in our du'as. So that Allah Ta'ala can give us the ability to adopt good character. And Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah kana yukthir yad'u, that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhuma relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would frequently supplicate with these words: Allahumma inni as'aluka as-sihha wal-'iffa wal-amana wa husna al-khuluq wal-ridha bil-qadr. It's a very simple, short dua. We should all try to memorize this dua and include it in our du'as. Allahumma inni as'aluka as-sihha. Wallah, I ask from you good health. Wal-iffa, and rectitude. They've translated it here. Iffa means to withhold yourself from sin, or to withhold yourself from desires. And this word is commonly used, quite frequently used, for chastity, to save oneself from fornication and adultery. Okay. But in reality, it has a general meaning as well, that to be able to save oneself from all kinds of sin, and to be able to save oneself from excessively indulging in shahwat and desires. Okay. Some desires are permitted, but even then, to excessively indulge in them is not praiseworthy. Okay. Eating good food is fine, but to make it, as if you just live for good food and that's all that matters, that's also not a good thing. Okay? To have relations with our partners is good, but then to make that the priority in our life is also not good. So, as well as staying away from haram, we also have to stay away from some halal, so we don't overindulge in our desires. Okay? So, this is iffah, rectitude. Wal amana, and trustworthiness. We ask Allah to make us trustworthy, that we never cheat, we don't deceive and fraud others. وحسن الخلق, and good character. والرضا بالقدر, and Allah, I ask you for a satisfaction with what you decree. This رضا بالقدر is a very high status and a very important thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Sometimes the taqdeer doesn't seem to be in our favor. Things don't go as we want them. Okay? So it's one thing to do sabr. Sabr is where you are not happy with what happened, but you are patient. But rida is an even higher rank than sabr. Because in rida you say, whatever Allah gives me, I'm happy with that. Okay, so say something goes wrong. For example, you lose some wealth, or you lose a family member, or you lose something precious to you. So one is you are upset about it, but then you don't complain, you don't object to Allah, so you do sabr. And the other is that you say, no, if this is the decree of Allah, I'm happy with whatever Allah decrees. If Allah didn't want me to have this, then I'm happy that Allah didn't give it to me. So this is an even higher status. Okay? Like somebody loses their job, one is they upset, but they are patient. And the other is they say, no, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must be some good in this as well. I'm happy with what Allah has decreed. So rida is even better than sabr. And this, I might have mentioned this story before of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi alayh. It's related that once he was sat in his khanqah, and his son had gone on a business trip abroad by sea, okay, by ship. So someone came and told him that, Sheikh, you know, the ship that your son was in, that ship has drowned, and all the wealth, you know, that you had invested has also drowned, and your son has died as well. So the Sheikh looked down for a short while, and he looked up and he said, Alhamdulillah. So people found this a bit strange, he didn't say anything. After some time, somebody came again and said, no, ya Sheikh, this news was not true. There was a storm, and you know the ship was going through a lot of turbulence, but it managed its way through, and they got to the destination, and they conducted their business, and they're coming back. Your son is fine as well, and they've made huge profits, and they are on their way back. So again, he looked down, he looked back up, and he said, Alhamdulillah. So then somebody asked the Sheikh, you know, we understand the second Alhamdulillah, but the first time you should say Inna Lillah. Why are you saying Alhamdulillah? So the Sheikh says that both Alhamdulillahs had nothing to do with my son, and they had nothing to do with the wealth. I was checking the condition of my heart, that do I feel any differently? So the first time when the sad news came, I looked at my heart and I realized that my connection with Allah was the same. I was totally pleased and happy with his decree. I had no complaints against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was happy with the decision. If Allah wanted to take my son away, I accept that. And if Allah takes all my wealth away, I accept that too. And the second time I was checking my heart, that now that my son, you know, is for me, it's as if he's come back to life from the dead, because I thought he had passed away, and now I'm being told he's alive. And all that wealth and profit that I've made, does it excite me? Does it make me very happy and joyous? And he said, no, I didn't feel any difference whether I had the wealth or not, whether I had my son or not. You know, my connection with Allah was the same. I didn't get excited or overly chuffed by the news. So both cases, I was checking my heart. So our heart should be attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our heart should be content and always pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Ridha bil Qadr. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, what Allah has written, then we are happy and we accept that. So again, I read the dua. Allahumma yas'aluka as-sihha wal-'iffa wal-amana wa husna al-khuluq wal-ridha bil-qadr. Wallah, I beseech you to grant me health, rectitude, iffa, protection from sins, you could say, or protection from overindulging in one's desires. And amana, trustworthiness, wa husn al-khuluq, and good manners, wa ridha bil qadr, and satisfaction with Allah's decree. Just one more hadith and then we'll end the lesson, inshallah. An Yazid ibn Babanus, rahimahullah, qala dakhalna ala Aisha, faqulna ya umm al-mu'minin, ma kana khuluq Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qalat kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. أتقرأون سورة المؤمنين؟ قالت اقرأ قد أفلح المؤمنون. قال يزيد فقرأت قد أفلح المؤمنون إلى قوله تعالى لفروجهم حافظون. قالت كان خلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يزيد بن بابنوس رحمه الله says, we went to Aisha رضي الله عنها and said, O mother of the believers, what were Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's manners like? She answered, his manners were the Quran. Meaning his manners were the practical translation, a practical demonstration of the Quran. Meaning whatever Allah has ordained and ordered in the Quran, he did those. Whatever Allah has prohibited in the Quran, he refrained from them. Do you read the surah? This is an example now. There are many ahkam in the Quran all over. But just as an example, so read Surah Al-Mu'minun. So Yazid says, I read. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون, you know, who are humble and devoted and in their salah, والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون, and those who turn away from futile acts or futile words, والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون, who pay their zakah, والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون, who protect their chastity, and all the way up to لفروجهم حافظون. Yeah, it's translated here actually. Truly successful shall be the believers who humble themselves in prayer, who turn away from all that is frivolous, who are active in deeds of charity, who refrain from sex except with those who join to them in marriage. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, Kana khuluqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such were the manners of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an example. I mean, wherever in the Quran Allah Ta'ala mentions be humble, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا, and or any instruction in the Quran, whether it's something farz or something to do with good character, or how not to deal with people, how not to treat people, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam acted upon them. So his akhlaq were the Quran. Therefore, if we want to perfect our akhlaq, if we want to perfect our manners and perfect our character, then we should study the Quran and follow the instructions of the Quran, so that we can have our character to be like the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give us all the ability to act upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.